That's very good. I think it's a good idea to emphasize the children. Sometimes they sit in these meetings and don't get too much out of it, but it's certainly good to have a special emphasis even once in a while for the young in years. Let's read together now for the last part of the meeting from Job chapter 33. For our first reading, the 33rd chapter of the book of Job. Just three simple points I'd like to emphasize tonight. And the first one is found in this chapter, Job 33. And let's read from verse 12. The answer here is from by Elihu to Job's statements in verses 10 and 11. But notice verse 12. He says, "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him, for he giveth not account of any of his matters? For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbereth upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and suiteth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pits. I have found a ransom." And essentially, what Elihu was saying here in this reading, by inspiration, is just one simple thing that I hope will be instructive to the young and the not so young in our meeting tonight, and it's this point. God speaks to people today. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God speaks once, yea, twice. And the sad result of that is this. Man perceives it not. So that just means that men and women and young folk alike don't detect. Sometimes when mom calls for lunch or supper, it's interesting how children kind of don't hear that, or even for bedtime. That's what it means not to perceive it. Men and women in all ages somehow just don't seem to hear that God is calling. Let's read secondly in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. The Lord Jesus speaking here. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgments. Sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they go to my Father and he see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." So listen, if God is the one that speaks to people, and speaks more than just once, then it's the Holy Spirit of God that actually was sent by the Lord's to strive with men God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, will not forever deal with man. But the tremendous power behind the gospel of Jesus Christ is not mere human power, but is the power divine. And men cannot be saved apart from the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why does the Spirit work with people? Why do boys and girls have to listen in meeting? Because we're convinced that the Holy Spirit can lead children to saving faith in Jesus Christ and older ones alike. So the Godhead is interested in you and me. God speaks to us. It is the Holy Spirit of God that strives with individuals and was sent by the Lord to reprove this world. We trust there may be a person in the meeting tonight that may understand that God, by the Spirit, is actually dealing with me concerning my condition. Last of all, let's read in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So if God speaks, and the Holy Spirit strives, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that suffered upon the cross to save boys and girls and teenagers and men and women from being lost forever. Now listen, friend, tonight in the meeting, if you're listening, someone is speaking. I don't just mean me. You see, God has placed you in this world for one purpose. Not to make money, not to get married, not to travel the world over. But God has given young folk and middle-aged people and elderly people one express purpose for being here in this world. And it's in light of this that everything else fits in. And if this is not comprehended, then life is a shamble. And the real purpose for living has been missed. This lifetime is a preparation for the life to come. Every one of us here are going to be somewhere forever. Either in heaven above or in hell beneath. And the Bible says the wise man's eyes are in his head. Because God speaks in the silence of creation. We had a dentist at 10 meetings that we had at Easter time in Fort McMurray. We had just a 12-night series. Could only get the community center for 12 nights, and so we commenced just before Good Friday and went over that Easter weekend and on through the whole Easter break. And a dentist and his girlfriend came along to one of those meetings. He had a great big chart up on the wall, and of course he was quite taken by the chart. And there we have coffee at the end of the meeting, and a lot of people have stayed back and sit around for hours. There's even been folks saved. Just talking at the close of the meeting over a cup of coffee with different ones speaking about the Lord Jesus. And so I said to Dr. Jones, I said, Doctor, I said, the reason we are confident that there is a God is because of the design that we can actually comprehend in nature. I mean, the building here just didn't explode or somehow show up one day on this piece of ground, and here it is. There is an architect's mind that went into designing the structure. And you see, friend, if there is a design now to nature, the seasons, and all we see around us, it leads a thinker to understand there must be a designer behind the design. And you see, young folk tonight and older ones alike, if there is the creation that man can stand and view and be able to look at, it leads us to understand there must be a creator behind a creation. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament display of their show of his handiwork. And there have been people saved who have actually heard God's voice of silence in the creation of God. Mr. Campbell is one man. And I miss that man more now than I did the night that I got the call that he was gone into eternity. When I think of his conversion often, my conversion was yesterday, July 19th, my spiritual birthday. And you see, when that man understood one night that somebody made all he could see above his head, it led him on a path that eventually brought him in contact with the answer to his deepest longing. God speaks in conscience. He allows a person to be sensitive to wrong. But you see, sometimes there are people and they don't actually hear God. And so sometimes God speaks in various and different ways. And I don't know who's here tonight and what kind of background you've got, but listen, friend, I know this, that God is speaking to individuals, the end times are upon us. And all the brush fires of the Middle East and all the diplomacy and all the things that are going on there are only indications that we're in the very shadows of the second advent of Jesus Christ, and the era of peace and salvation, friend, is soon to end. And God is calling in many ways. Sometimes God speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night. Nobody gets saved when they're asleep. People get saved when they're wide awake, when they're sensible. When they're able to make a rational decision, that is eternal. But folks sometimes get aroused as God speaks in the slumberings of the night. Pilate's wife said, "How nothing through that man, for I saw many things this day and dream because of him." Here's a woman that God spoke to in the daytime in a dream. Young friend and ice, God is following your life, and God is concerned, older person in our gathering, that you might stop in life. Wonder why you're here, where you've come from, where you're going when it's all over. And sometimes God speaks in sickness, or sometimes God speaks in accidents, in tragedies. But his concern is that there may be a response to his call. One of the sisters in the assembly in Fort McMurray received the sad news just in March, on a Monday morning, that her younger sister had been suddenly killed in a bus truck accident in her hometown. Young mother, young expectant mother, 8 months pregnant, was suddenly hurled from time into eternity out of that bus I got the news to come down to the house. Went in. There was a lot of neighbors were there. I put my hand on Debbie's shoulder. I said, Debbie, I hardly know what to say. So we sat down and we talked for a while, and I said, now we'll have a word of prayer. Right across from me at that large dining room table was a neighbor woman that had been friendly with Debbie, had actually mocked at her faith. But she sat in that home that afternoon and saw a relatively young Christian bear grief. And heard about a young Christian woman whose husband had given her a hard time when she was alive. Now was suddenly taken from time into eternity. And that young unsaved neighbor made up her mind in that grief-stricken home, there and then, she was going to seek both Debbie and Renee's Savior. A few days later, on the weekends, that young neighbor woman came into the Sunday school with her little girl. Actually, determined not to stay. But the Christians invited her in and made her welcome. Showed a bit of Christian friendliness, and the woman stayed for the Sunday school and came back that night. A devout Roman Catholic who was then under fear to even be in a Protestant building, but she sensed a love and she sensed a warmth and she sensed a drawing. You know, that woman happened to come along just at the right time because we were having some special meetings just that very week, and that woman came out every single night. And this one night she got out of her seat before the meeting was even started and went downstairs, began to cry. A little later we sat down beside her and began to speak to her about the Lord Jesus. She said, you know, I'd never be here tonight. I'd never be found inside this building. Never be interested in this matter of being saved. But she said, I understand that God is speaking to me. She said, I could not even believe what Debbie and Renee actually had was genuine. But down deep I saw how this woman that was taken so suddenly, she was able to be a testimony to her husband. She said, I believe that Renee's death so tragically was God's voice to me. And so you see, friend, tonight, God speaks once, God speaks twice. His desire is that young people and middle-aged ones and older people may perceive his call to their souls to bless them with an eternal salvation. God speaks through a carrier of the message. And he says, deliver him or her from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. Wherever a young person understands that I am lost, and yet God loves me, and our brothers emphasize that clearly tonight, that people are lost. Not just people in behind bars. I talked to this young man a few years ago here out at Maskewee. And I said, George, have you read that verse before? He said, never seen it before in my life. I said, read it again. He read that verse, Christ died for the ungodly. I said, you are sure the ungodly. He says, these kind of men like myself inside this prison. And I have shown many a person since then that simple verse. And you see, friend, it's not just a man behind bars, but it may be a Christian child tonight. Maybe a person has been exposed to the gospel in years past, years gone by. But you see, friend, the moment must come in a person's life when they see that I am not just a sinner, but a lost sinner. I am ungodlike. And I'm going down from God. For the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. I was talking to a woman the other night. Comes to mind right now, and as far as an upstanding citizen, she was raised in a very, very strict home. And when we just spoke along these lines, she said, well, I've never done anything bad. But I said, are you good enough to go to heaven? Well, well, she said, I wouldn't quite say it like that. I said, he's bad enough to go to hell. Oh, she said, I wouldn't really go quite as far as that. So I said, well, then where are you going? Not good enough for heaven, not bad enough for hell. And there's no in-between place. You're either going to one place or the other. So you see, young folk tonight and older ones alike, a person either is saved and bound for heaven through Jesus, or they're lost and bound for hell because they're not saved by the blood of Christ, and the lost soul is a candidate for salvation. And God all the time is wanting us to understand, I am lost, and lost souls will not be with Christ in heaven, but they can be through Jesus. Now, how does that make sense? How does that actually be impressed upon me? Well, just like you are here tonight. I know somebody may have brought you. You may have been invited. We believe that behind the scenes, God the Spirit actually draws people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm a firm believer in the consistent preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, it's pleased God through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. And many a soul has actually had a lot of questions answered in a short space of time and has had their mouth stopped and their will broken and their pride humbled as they sit under the power of the gospel of Christ. And an assembly needs to keep its gospel wheels well oiled. And keep a sense of direction. We're not here to settle down and just hold services. We're here to blaze the gospel light for Christ. And to give a dying world a message of hope and salvation. And you see behind the preaching of the cross is the unique working of the Holy Spirit that allows men to stand up in flesh and blood and be able to be seen and to actually be analyzed and to be able to discern, is this man genuine or is it fakery? But you see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that works with individuals and reproves the world of sin. Why is that? Because they believe not in me. The sin of unbelief, friend, is a soul-damning sin. And the reason souls will be lost and lost forever is not the amount of sins they commit, but is the unbelief. They have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'll tell you, God is working today amongst a variety of people. We've spent most of our time in the last 11 months in Fort McMurray amongst the rather large Newfoundland population there. We've also been in contact with other people from other parts of Canada, but primarily amongst many Newfoundlanders. Newfoundlanders that know nothing of the gospel. I mentioned last time I was here about this young girl, Connie. She was living in Kamala with a Christian's son. He had a 2-year-old baby. She sensed the first time she came inside that little community center where we're having these meetings, she sensed something of the power of God that she never felt in all her years telling her sins to the priest back home. And this night as we sat together in her own trailer, a troubled young woman, sick of her lifestyle, sick of her sin, sick of all the things that made her feel unclean, and wanting some relief from us. I said, Connie, is there any verse in all the verses we looked at tonight that have made an impression on you? See, that one out in John 3 about being condemned. And so I went over it again. And I just sensed there was just something transpiring in those seconds. And I said, Connie, where do you see yourself right now? She said, I see myself in the first part. He that believeth is not condemned. She said, I felt condemned all my life. knew I was doing wrong in my way of living. Knew I was doing wrong in the things I was involved in, all the parties and all the sinning. She said, for the first time in my life, here and now, I know I'm not condemned. How do you know? She said, it says right there, he that believeth is not condemned. There that night, a young woman, 21 years of age, left home at 15, simply yielded to the Spirit's drawing, was reproved of the Holy Spirit of her sin, of righteousness found only in Christ, of judgment. God proved judgment is a reality in that he defeated Satan and will continue to judge sin and deal with sinners. But friend, those that sense God's drawing by the Spirit to Christ can actually be saved and know the power of Jesus in their life. But it is Christ that paid the price upon the tree. You see, that Christ was the one that suffered, and lots of boys and girls and older ones are familiar with the story of the cross. But you see, the sufferings that Jesus took from men was all the abuse. I didn't shave for the last couple of days on the way along. I told you after last night to be sure to shave before I came here this morning. But you know, when they plucked the hairs off the face of Jesus, there was an awful lot of pain. And when men lashed his back, and when men nailed his hands and feet to a cross of wood, and wringed his brow with a crown of Palestinian thorns, and pushed it into his brow, there was agony and pain identified with Christ's sufferings from men. The Bible says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But listen, friend, we are saved because of his sufferings for men. And that is how you can be saved in the middle of this meeting, young person, older one. Christ's sufferings he endured from the hands of his preacher are not redemptive. But his substitutionary work, his going to the cross on the behalf of the condemned sinner and taking the judgment God meted out to sin and bearing it himself, is that which satisfies his claims and can bring man to God. The Bible says Christ suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the reason you can be saved in this meeting tonight, young friend, or older one alike, is because of the sufferings of Christ upon the cross in your stead, on your behalf. And I've often thought, with this all closed, I thought of a man one time that sat in a prison, knowing that his death was imminent, soon to take place, and got a word from some authority, go free. Man on death row now told to go a free man. He knew the death place was not very far away. And I think as Barabbas would have heard that statements and be told to go, he would want to see how come he was allowed to go free and somebody else was going to take his place upon the cross. And as Barabbas would go outside the city of that, the walls of that city and go to that little knoll, he would look upon that center cross. And I wonder, friend, could that be you tonight going outside that place to see where Jesus died? And be able to say, like Barabbas might have said, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Maybe Barabbas said that. I don't know. I'd like to think he did. But I know, friends, that in this meeting as we close, it can happen in your life. God is speaking to you in the gospel. The Holy Spirit is drawing folk from their seats and their sins to salvation. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone that suffered the just one for us, the unjust, to bring us to God. And through simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ, from your heart tonight, you in the back, those in the front, and all in between are not saved and find salvation through the Savior we've been hearing about, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray thy blessing upon the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are young in years, those that are middle-aged, and those that are elderly. Many persons never, ever yet trusted Christ from their heart as their personal Savior. We pray may do so at this very moment. We thank you, Father, for many that have been saved and for work thou art doing in the hearts and lives of multitudes today. Thousands are being saved ere the age of grace comes to a close. In one of these moments, the last soul will enter in, the door will be shut. We pray that a soul tonight may embrace the opportunity and trust the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. We pray thy blessing upon thy word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing the last two verses of number 236. You see, even salvation is made simple enough for a child to understand it. And a person to get saved mustn't be childlike, but they can be looked upon as being, or mustn't, they can't be, they're not to be childlike, or childish, but it's just like the child with its faith in another. Not childishness, but childlikeness. And so you tonight that are here, maybe you're older, but it's like, just like a child, we must become in simple obedience and faith in what God has said. And as a result of that transaction, salvation can be your personal possession. So we're glad to see the young ones along tonight and older ones too, and trust that God may speak to your hearts and lead you to Christ. So let's sing these last two verses of 2